for your sakes that I was not there, the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then, as said Thomas, who is called Didymus, one of his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Then, when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now, Bethany was near unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatever thou shalt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, who should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way, and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come, and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto him. And now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, who were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily, went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping who came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaned in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that thou wouldest see, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of this people who stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, his face bound with a cloth. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the infinite love that has been afforded each of us, not only in this place, but throughout the world. The love of God was such that the very Son of God came into this place that he might stand in our room instead, that he might take the judgment with you to each of us. We just trust that as we've read this word, that it might draw us closer to himself, that we may realize to a greater extent he was the Son of God, but he was God. He was the very creator of the universe himself. And it was he who died in our room instead. He loved us to such an extent, and hell was such a terrible, terrible place, that God sent his Son to die for us. Now, as we go into this little study, may our hearts and minds be open, not so much to the speaker, but to the word that we have read, and as the Holy Spirit speaks to the hearts of each of us, may He open our spiritual eyes and minds that we may observe and take in wonderful truths out of Thy precious Word. These things we ask in His name and for His sake. Amen. Now, we've been over this a number of times or in all different ways. I just trust that we can get something more out of it. One thing as we went through here, we noted that the Lord said that Lazarus slept. We have a tendency to say that this person or that person died. Well, if they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we're wrong. They're asleep in Christ. Even when they go into the ground, the body is asleep in Christ. The person is in the presence of the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. They're not dead. And if you come down to it, even those that are lost, they're dead to God. But there's a day coming that they will arise. They too will come up. There'll be about 1,007 years between those two resurrections. 1,000 years, well, 7 years of tribulation. After we're gone, we'll be taken out of here. We'll be gone. We'll be in glory for 7 years. And I believe during that 7 years is when we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, what does that mean? What takes place there? Not as to our salvation. We're there. We're sons and daughters of God. We're part of the body of Christ. But the Lord is going to determine in the presence of all what each of us have done with our lives for the Lord. We, in turn, will receive crowns for those things that have been done. And you remember the word said that those, even though you give someone a cup of water in the name of the Lord, you're still going to get the reward. I believe every child of God will have done something. And yet, even the Apostle Paul will have wished that he had done more. And we'll be in like position. But we should be doing, encouraged or urging ourselves to do more in this scene. How many times have we met people and we felt we should say something to them? We don't. That might have been the word that would have brought them to the Lord. That might have been the very thing that would open their eyes, wake them up. But there's no one of us that is used in saving an individual. Salvation is through a chain of events. Hearing the Word of God, somebody witnessing, hearing it through a tract, reading their Bible, but there are a number of things. And you see that person saved, you or I are the last link in bringing them to Christ. Ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit speaking to them. All right, we find here that it was a certain man. His name was Lazarus. He was at the town of Bethany. He had two sisters, Mary and Martha. And it's quite likely that Simon, the leper, was their father. And remember, he was made well by the Lord. But it appears that he had passed out of this scene. And Martha, being evidently was the oldest, the home was hers. And all three lived there. It was a place where the Lord loved to come. These people loved Him. They would do for Him. They went out of their way to do for Him. And then we find, let us look at 1 John 4. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation or substitute or sacrifice for us. And then another verse in chapter 3, well, I've got one verse marked down, but let's read two verses. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Can we grasp it? That we should be called the children of God. We've been adopted into the household of faith. We've been made sons and daughters of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Now, how many times have we tried to do something out in the world, whether it be work or what? We just don't seem to fit. Somehow, some way, and we might be the best at whatever we're doing. Somehow we don't fit in that group. We're not of the world. We're of another world. And if you come down to it, most of the things that we do, I believe this is, the Lord allows this, that we don't get too attached to this world. And we have a tendency to do it. So, well, if the Lord comes tomorrow, I won't be able to do thus and so with a new car I bought or some other thing. If the Lord comes, I won't be able to finish my tests. What difference is the tests? The Lord comes before next week, I won't be able to finish painting the house. Well, what difference? We all seem to be caught up in the things of the world. We should be looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Then the next verse. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We will have perfect bodies. Note loved ones that have gone on before. Some of them were very sick in their last days. Some were sick for a long time. When we see them together again, we'll see them at their best. Better than they ever were in this scene. They will be perfect. We will be perfect. We will have bodies like unto our Lord's. If we didn't, we wouldn't be able to travel. And how long is it going to take us to do that little thing? The moment we leave here, it's in an instant. It's so fast that time can't be measured. The moment we leave here, we will be like them. In that very fraction of a second, if we're alive when he comes, or whether we're in the grave, our bodies will be just like them. Now, people will say, is that a mystical body? No, it's a body like we have now. Remember in Acts 1, it says, the same Jesus, not a different Jesus, coming again. And what did he do after the resurrection? He sat down and he ate fish and honey. Now, why did he do that? The Spirit doesn't eat. He was flesh and bone. What was missing? Blood. Blood was shed for you and me. And very possibly, in that scene, we won't have blood either. We will be absolutely perfect. When a person dies, of course, today, the mortician takes and he draws all the blood out of your system. And then he puts his formula into that system. If you don't take the blood out, what happens first is you start turning dark. Black. Because the blood is beginning to rot. The life is in the blood, and that's the first thing that goes. And then, too, our blessed Lord, when the disciples were in the upper room, the doors were barred for fear of the Jews. And remember, when you read for fear of the Jews or the Jews, it's speaking of the religious leaders. It's not speaking of the people. These are the people that are trying to trip them up. Those walls were from this thick to this thick. They were made of brick. Like adobe brick that looks like one solid wall. And then you have big, heavy doors. And the Lord appeared in the midst. And most of us think the only one that could do that would be a ghost. But what did the Lord ask Thomas to do? He knew what Thomas said he wouldn't believe unless he could thrust his fingers into his nail print and his hand into his side. And he said, "Peace be unto you," and then he called Thomas, "Come over here." And he told him to do it, but you know, nowhere do we read that he did it. He said, "My Lord, my God." The Lord said he believed, he was blessed because he had seen him. But more blessed are those that have not seen him. That's us. We haven't seen him physically, but we have believed. So he said we have more blessed. That's hard to realize. And then he was gone. Then they see him again. They saw him for 40 days. Up to 500 at a time saw him. You and I will be just like him. And when you stop to think of time, if we were traveling in that day and time, the way man travels today, you'd never be able to get from one place to the other as far as some of those places are. Time will mean nothing. We'll be there. This is that wonderful man that came to die for us. Then let us look at Romans. Most of us should know this verse. Romans, the 8th chapter. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are the called to his purposes, according to his purpose. Well, let's look back at the top again for a moment. And we know. What does that mean? Positive. There's no doubt. Everything that happens is for our good. Even when we get sleepy. Everything physical, mental, everything that happens to us while we're down here is for our good. Some way or another. And if it isn't for us directly, it's for someone that we come in contact with. Maybe someone else sees, say you're sick or you're injured, and you're still witnessing for the Lord. How much more that might pick up someone else that is having problems. If we go down and let ourselves get into the dumps, we hurt the body of Christ. We may hurt another brother or sister who's a little weaker, and he sees this, and of course, they go into the dumps as well. But we should be cheerful. Many have heard of, some knew my dad. He had a very bad cancer. He could hide it from just about everybody. And they took a picture of my brother, my uncle, my dad, and myself. And everyone that looks at that picture, very few, go away without tears in their eyes. And yet he is the one that was cheering the other ones up. In the hospital it was the same. The nurses should have been cheering him. They would be going away with smiles on their faces. He was cheering them. And when he went, the family doctor was standing in the hall, the tears running down his face. He said, "If ever I loved a man, I loved that big red-headed Irishman." The thing of it was, he was always there to cheer someone else. You and I, whenever the situation, whether we're hurting, whatever it is, we should be willing to encourage the other guy, cheer him along the way. And especially if he's a brother or sister in the Lord. And then, 1 Peter. First Peter, the 4th chapter, 11th verse. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. God speaks through you and I, whether it's our actions or our voice. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. He's glorified through us. and pointing people to Christ. To whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The 16th verse. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. You and I, we have to defend our family. There's no question of that. We have to defend our country. But if we are being persecuted because of our love for Christ, it isn't our place to fight back. That's hard to believe. It's the Lord's battle. The Lord's to take care of that, and He will take care of it. Then we think that's God's glory. Let's think of His own glory, the Lord's glory, John 12. John 12, 28th verse. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. In the 18th chapter, same book, my pages on this are getting like me. The 31st verse. Then said Pilate unto him, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. We heard our brother speaking this morning about Shiloh. And what did they say? We have no king but Caesar. Jacob could say, Scepter departeth not from Judah, nor lawgiver from beneath his knees until Shiloh come. Shiloh was standing right there. And the priest, the high priest, not only was angry, but he did something that he shouldn't have done. He rent his garment. That as far as the Jewish religion was concerned, it was over. That was the end of it right there. As far as his being a priest, he was done with. But as far as civil law and etc. was concerned, he went on his merry way like nothing had taken place. But God was finished with the Jewish teaching. We find that at the resurrection of Christ, it says the end in your Bible, King James, it says the end of the Sabbath. It's not that. The original says the end of the Sabbath. As far as God was concerned, the old dispensation was gone. Something new had come up. We find that the two were made one. That's our brother was speaking about the veil. That opened it up to both Jew and Gentile could enter into God's presence. You've got two things now. You've got the Jew, you've got the Gentile, and you've got the Christian. That's what you've got today. Now let's see the apparent indifference. John 11, 6 and 7. When he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he unto his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. Now, why do you think he did that? He knew the situation. He knew all things. He knew that this man was dead. He wasn't just dying at the time. Remember when the two sisters came to him, both of them said the same thing. If he'd been there, he wouldn't have died. You can look through all of the gospel, and you will never find where anyone ever died in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one. Now they were raised. There were those on the cross that died, but who died first? Christ was already gone. If he had remained alive, they wouldn't have died. Nowhere has anyone died in the presence of he who is very life. Life, it said. Said, I am the life. He's our life. He said that the Father was in him, and he was in us. We're all one in God. There's no way that I'm going to be able to finish any of this. The cause. Genesis 2:17. Soul that sinneth, it shall die. And then we're told that if we take of the fruit, you would die. Adam died. Romans 5:12. Most should know that, but I want to read verse 15 as well. Romans 5 and 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, into the world, and death by sin, so death is passed unto all men, for all have sinned. We all came through the same family. We all came through Noah. And then Noah's traced all the way back to Adam. Everyone has the same bloodline. If we go far enough back, we go back to Noah. And that goes back, of course, to Adam. Then the 15th verse. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many are dead, once more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. By one man's sin, all of us were made sinners. But by the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of those that have trusted him as their Savior, in God's sight, were sinless. Now that's hard to take in. And yet we're admonished to do what? Ask for forgiveness. If we sin, we're to repent. We're to confess our sin. So God knows that we've sinned. He knows that it's our nature. But when he looks at us, he sees us through his Son. And his Son is absolutely perfect. Romans 3:23, all of us should know that. I should know it too. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They've missed the mark. God has set a mark, and man can't hit it. Romans 6:3, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians 2:1. And you hath he made alive or quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Before we trusted Christ as Savior, we were dead in trespasses and sin. At the moment we put our trust in him, we're one with himself. We're one body in Christ. If one is missing or one is hurt, the body is hurt. Now we know different ones become sick and they can't do this or that. It's our part to pray for them. It's our part for those that have problems, even spiritual problems, we're to witness to them, we're to encourage them, but above all, we're to pray for them. I believe I just read recently, for each thing that was done, the Lord prayed 6 times against 2 things that he did. So even here, very God. That's how valuable prayer is. And young people, lots of times you don't think prayer does much. But you know who's afraid of prayer? No, somebody's afraid of prayer. Do you know who it is? That's right, it's Satan. You and I are at our strongest when we're on our knees, when we're in prayer. The weakest child of God is at his strongest when we're in prayer. We have a direct line to heaven. We don't have to go through, like we heard when J. Boyd Nicholson, that the war was over and he was trying to head home, and he tried to get hold of his mother, and the phone call had to go through this exchange and another exchange and another exchange. This was from India. So finally it got to Scotland. We don't do that. We just go right straight to God. Then there was a spiritual death. no communion with God, no obedience to God, and no hope in God. We were just at a funeral recently, and I don't know how people that aren't saved can make it. I'll be honest with you. But you know, we're finding more and more people out there that are committing suicide. And the highest rate is amongst teenagers. We've got a culture that's teaching God has nothing to do with it. There is no God. So don't you worry about what you're taught in school. If you're in college, if that's your course that you have to take, you answer the questions according to the book, and you might even say that you don't even believe it, but this is what the book says. That you stand faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what they try to put into your head. And some of them are so slick, they can make you believe that black is white and white is black. But this is what you believe, what God says, not what man says. That's philosophy, and we've been warned of philosophy. In verses 33, this is in John. John 11, verse 33-37. The compassion of our Lord. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, who came with her. Now these were the religious leaders. Jerusalem was only about 1.75 miles away from Bethany. They were friends of the family. They were there to help console her. So they were weeping, and undoubtedly there were professional mourners there as well. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Now why did he weep? There's a number of reasons. He could look at a dead person or any person that had died. Why did death come in? Because of sin. Soul that sinneth, it shall die. And we've all sinned. That's physical death. For those that are saved, we won't have the second death, though. We're born twice, we die once. If you're born once, you die twice. The physical death and the eternal death. For those that are born twice, we're born into this world, and we enter the second world into the presence of God. But Jesus wept because of what sin had done, the ravages of sin. There was something else. Now you say, that's great. Lazarus the roller. What had to happen again? Lazarus had to die again. You ever think of that? He had to die again. Says Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" And how right they were. He wouldn't have had to do anything. All he would have had to have done is been in his presence, and he wouldn't have died. Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone upon it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Just a covering. But then he called. When he called for Lazarus, first he spoke to his father. And he did that on purpose, that the people, the Jews in particular, could see that he had come from God. That he was God. He had told them any number of times that he was God. You remember Martha was saying that she could ask of the Father. She didn't realize that he could do it himself. He was the very creator. The Father wasn't the creator. All things were made by him and for him. When they took away the stone, Jesus lifted up his eyes and said in verse 41, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always because of the people who stand by," that is, the religious leaders, the Jews, "that thou hast sent me." He cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." He heard that those in the grave would have all come forth if he hadn't spoken of Lazarus. But very possibly, there were many Lazarus in the grave. Isn't it amazing that the great Lazarus knew to come forth? That was a common name. But when he said Lazarus came forth, the proper Lazarus came forth. Our God is perfect. He knows all things. He's all powerful. He's all present. We have a wonderful God, but more than that, we have a wonderful Savior. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the love that has been bestowed upon us. We're amazed that our God could even take time for us. Many times we think that we're so weak, we're so helpless, that we see all the great and wonderful things that are accomplished in different places of the world. We seem so insignificant. And yet, in God's eyes, each one of us is so precious that God Himself died for us. God the Son, the very one who created us, He took our place. He became our substitute. All the wealth of the universe could never buy a soul. It took the very Son of God. We think of the Son in all of His sufferings, even the awful judgment of God the Father that passed over Him. Many times we forget how it must have affected God the Father to have to do this to His own beloved Son, that one who is daily the delight of Himself. Now, Father, we just trust that each of us, upon reading Thy precious Word, the Holy Spirit speaking to us, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we might live in such a way that others might see Christ in us, no matter what our circumstances, no matter what the situation. May each of us, in some way, bring honor and glory to Himself. These things we ask in His name and for His sake.